Welcome back to White's Hotel in Wexford Town. We're here today as Labour holds its pre-Dáil Parliamentary Party meeting, play-acting before the real game begins. Longford West Meath TD Willie Penrose told us earlier in the programme. The Labour leader in Taunush to Joan Burton is with us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
Willie Penrose hasn't much regard for these days. What's the real value?
Willie is Willie and he's a great Labour Party person, and I think he'll probably be joining us later on. The value of the day, of the two days, is to basically have a look at where the country is going, how the recovery is spreading out to people and communities right across Ireland, and not just in the bigger towns and cities. So it's an opportunity after a holiday break for people in the parliamentary party to talk about issues like housing, to look at the investment into broadband, very important for rural areas and rural business startups, and also to talk about the recovery in the economy, and obviously to hear from people their views in relation to the forthcoming budget. What's important is that the country has now begun a slow recovery, and it's very obvious talking to people here in Wexford last night, and this morning I'm opening the new social welfare office in Wexford, the new Intreo office, where we're really putting the focus on getting people back to work. And thankfully, the live register in Wexford has fallen quite significantly over the last year.
And this morning, reading the Irish Times, there's a prominent story in the Irish Times about something which is to be announced in the budget, a return to work dividend. And you're quoted in that story detailing what this dividend is about.
And I've discussed this in great detail with the Taoiseach, and I'm happy to say that our partners in government are strongly supportive. It's all about, I suppose, the change that I have pioneered in the Department of Social Protection to turn it in relation to people who are of working age from a passive provider of benefits where people call in, collect money, and nobody necessarily talks to them again, to a focus to working with employers, both small and large, to actually get people back to work. So what we're creating, Fran, is a public employment service which actually offers to employers who are recruiting, and they are recruiting now, jobs to people who are on the live register. That's the critical thing, and that's what the story in the Irish Times and the other newspapers is about. I want to move to a situation where individuals and people with children move back to work, they get an additional incentive to tie them over the period when there's a bit of uncertainty moving from welfare to work, and they retain extra support.
What you're proposing doing is giving a payment to somebody to address serious issues within the workforce, namely that wages are too low and social welfare rates are too high, and your solution is to pay more social welfare.
With respect, Fran, I think you're actually wrong there. The biggest difficulty that faces people who've been unemployed is that the longer that period of unemployment is, when they go for an interview, they have a gap in their CV. Employers look at them and they get worried and say, will I really take this person on? Also, from the point of view of an individual who, say, has two or three children, if they go to work, they lose currently the extra child allowances that they get on social welfare. What I'm proposing is a back-to-work dividend for people going back to work, where on a sliding scale over a period of time, they would hold on to those allowances. We've tried that in other respects and at other times, and it's been successful, and I'm anxious to do that again. It's not hugely costly.
Is it acceptable now for government ministers to start announcing ahead of the budget measures that are going to be included?
This was discussed by myself and the Taoiseach at length, both in government buildings during our discussions around the formation of the new cabinet, but it has also been discussed by me at numbers of conferences around the country. Also, people like the ESRI have talked to us about how, in terms of families with children, we need, if you like, an extra package, and that's what we're looking at in this.
Can I talk to you about your position? We've seen what's been referred to as the Burton bounce, the polls improving somewhat for your party. Gerry Adams put it very starkly last week when he said, you are an architect of austerity, and there's very little difference between you and what's gone before. What would you say to Gerry Adams about that?
Well, what I would say to Gerry Adams is that if people were to give Gerry Adams responsibility for the economy... you're quoting Mr. Adams. Just let me say this. In my view, if people were to give control of the economy to Sinn Féin, they might as well hand the keys of the country back to the Troika. What I have done, and Professor John Fitzgerald of the SRI was on your programme in the last couple of weeks, acknowledging as an independent think tank that what has happened in relation to social welfare in the last 3 years has been the protection of core rates. And that is borne out by the figures that the social scientists do in relation
But you and your leadership, what is the difference between Joan Burton and Eamon Gilmore?
The difference is this, that first of all, notwithstanding all of the very great work that Eamon did in his period as Taoiseach and his work for restoring the country's reputation internationally, we had a difficult result in the local elections. Eamon decided to stand down, and I went before the party and spoke to individually and in hustings around the country, which yourselves in the media were invited in to attend in full, and you recorded it all. I met people, and people gave me their trust and their support, and I now have a mandate to proceed to build this country.
It doesn't answer the question, though. Fundamentally, what is the difference between the two of you?
Well, we come from the same political party, but I believe my focus has always been, both as an opposition TD, as a government minister, and now as leader, to focus relentlessly on getting people back to work. Can I just go back to your analogy or your comment about Sinn Féin and Mr. Adams? Just let me say this. The thing that most disappoints me about Sinn Féin as a party which seeks to represent working people is that they seem relentlessly opposed to any measures that help people back to work. It's almost as though they want a welfare economy rather than a working, vibrant economy with small business, large business, and individuals at work and growing and getting prosperity for all of us.
You made certain choices when you announced your cabinet choices, and some people weren't best pleased with it, amongst them Pat Rabbit, who effectively said that he felt he was excluded on the basis of his age. Do you see a role for Pat Rabbit and Eamon Gilmore and others who were excluded in the future? In other words, do you want them to be candidates in the next election?
Of course, and as I'm aware in terms of Pat and Eamon, and as I've acknowledged publicly, they made a very solid and major contribution to the fortunes of the Labour Party over a long period of time. I also, though, in selecting people to serve in government, I was anxious to include some of the younger members. I refer to them as the class of 2011 who came into the Dáil in recent times. So I hope now there's a balance in terms of the Cabinet, Labour Party members, between experience and people who are young and fresh with new ideas.
Politically, could you have stored up difficulties for yourself in the manner in which you handled it?
Fran, there's always risks in politics. I've always been a risk taker in politics. My background is working as an accountant, getting things moving for people and getting the country moving. I make no apologies. That's my particular background. But I also have, as somebody who worked in education with students over a long period of time at third level, I think I have a fairly good understanding of how this economy works and how we can actually make it better for everyone in the country.
We spoke earlier in the programme. I spent the last few days speaking to members of your parliamentary party. Joanna Tuffy says we need people to know that the hardship cuts are over. Lorraine Higgins says we need to do something about the universal social charge.
Yeah, and I think that they are very fair comments, and I think it's good that you're putting that to me. First of all, I want to be honest with people. From the period of the collapse of the economy, the bank guarantee and the Troika coming in and us having to borrow on penal terms from the Troika, something like 30 billion was taken out of the economy. Now, I'm not saying to your listeners at home this morning at the breakfast table that it's going to be possible to restore that in one budget or indeed in three budgets or in five budgets. Anybody who says that is being dishonest. What we can can achieve and what I'm undertaking to do is steady growth, expansion and investment. And we're actually on track to do that. You spoke about the opinion poll. The key thing in the opinion poll yesterday to me is that 61% of people believe that the economy is moving in the right direction. I think I know why. It's because they can see life coming back to the economy, people going back to work and businesses getting on their feet again.
And part of that, one of your new ministers, Jed Nash, saying today that we could see full employment in this country by 2017 or 2018. Do you think that's a realistic objective?
Well, the government programme for that is to have that by 2020. And that's why, going back to your issue on the budget, I think it's really important. And already
Is
I've
he been
had,
over-enthusiastic?
No, I think he's ambitious, as most young people are ambitious.
Is he been realistic?
I think it's possible under certain circumstances, but I would expect it to be perhaps in a slightly slower vein. But just let me say this, I've been talking to Michael Noonan about how we shape budgets for 3 to 5 years that actually produce a track for investment and for growth that gets us to that. And that's what Jed is talking about.
We're effectively out of time, but I want to ask you a last question about a story in the Irish Times today where a senior executive in Dublin City Council is suggesting building prefabricated houses on derelict sites in Dublin to deal with the housing problem. Is that acceptable to you as the leader of the Labour Party?
Well, first of all, can I say to Dublin City Council, because I have met the new manager, Owen Keegan, on several occasions, I want the closed-up properties that Dublin City Council has reopened.
Our prefab
Dublin
solution.
City Council.
We are out of time.
I don't particularly think that they are, but what I want is there are a couple of thousand properties which have been boarded up. Dublin City Council are being funded to reopen that, and that's the first thing.
Do you find it an acceptable solution?
Well, it's a proposal by an official. I haven't had any further details. I want to see homes for families, and I want to see permanent construction.
All right, Tánaiste Joan Burton, thank you for joining us this morning in Wexford. It's 8:50.